The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Great. All set. So, hello and welcome, everyone. Lovely to be with you in this time and space. As Violet said, here and now, whatever the time zone might be, whatever the weather internally and externally might be. So for our practice today, we're going to continue with this beautiful practice of equanimity, cultivating equanimity, upekkha, the fourth Brahmavihara, the fourth heavenly abode practice. And upekkha, the word in Pali, equanimity, translated as equanimity, equipoise, has the sense of large view, having this expansiveness of view, seeing over, seeing fully. So yesterday we practiced, as we're going through these concentric circles, traditionally all these practices, you cultivate them, expand your heart little by little, starting where it's easy, expanding a little by little to where it's more challenging. So yesterday, the concentric circle we extended ourselves to was the benefactor. And tonight, it's the next traditional category, which is the good friend, dear friend, or just friend, someone whom we care about, we're friendly relationship, we have a friendly relationship with them. And what we'll do today, as always, we'll spend some time at the beginning of our practice to settle in with our bodies, with the breath, just arriving, settling, arriving, the body, embodiment. I'll say it a trillion times how important embodiment, really coming to the body, sensing the body stability is. And then we'll open up, as I'll invite you, with guidance, with practicing equanimity, cultivating equanimity, offering some reflections, some sentences, some phrases of metta, which also, if you're on the Happy Hour Google groups, you received them earlier this week. And Neil sent them out, so they're already there. If you want to go back or if you want to sign up now that you have the link and see what entire list of different phrases of equanimity, of upekkha, what different options are, I'll offer a few today. So, anything else I want to say? Oh yes, one last thing to always say is if you're a beginner, great. Welcome to Happy Hour. Whatever you need to know will be shared with you. So no previous experience necessary. And just to also say that the near enemy, what masquerades as equanimity is aloofness, not caring. And if you see that in yourself, then my invitation is to try to connect a little more with your sense of care, friendliness with your friend, the person you'll be bringing up in your heart, your care for them, so that there's a sense of care, presence, as well as holding it with a lot of spaciousness. Okay, let's begin. All right, so let's settle into our bodies, our meditation posture, whether you need to lie down or sit up straighter. See what your body needs right now. Check in with your body. If your body needs to move and shift a little bit, gets to settle your sit bone, center of gravity, that's okay too. So landing, arriving, feeling your feet on the ground. If you're sitting on the cushion, your legs. And your sit bones, your bottom on the cushion, on the chair. Feeling these contact points. Just taking a moment to feel connected. Inviting your abdomen to relax. For any tightness or tension in the lower abdomen, groin area, and your bottom to be dropped. Falling into the cushion, onto the earth. And inviting your chest to soften your heart. Your heart to relax, feeling safe. It's okay to your heart. It's okay. Entering a judgment-free zone. For the period of this practice, whatever arises is fine. You're doing your best. Letting your heart feel safe, relaxed. Dropping your neck, shoulders, your arms, your hands. As if any tension, as if all tension is dripping away, down from the arms, shoulders, hands. Your entire lower body. And your face. All the muscles loosening. The forehead, the jaw, and the muscles from the inside, behind your cheeks. Behind your forehead, connecting your ears, your jaw. Let all those muscles drop, relax, drop their weight, their tension. Let the breath be received. this relaxed, soft body. In the abdomen. And if thoughts are arising, gently, kindly ask, do I need to be thinking this right now? Is it really necessary? With lightness, with a sense of humor, without judgment. Letting it go. It's okay. If it's important enough, it'll come back later. Coming back to the body, to the breath, in this moment. Taking refuge in the simplicity of just sitting and being breathed. Intimately, intimately connecting with the breath, the entirety of the in-breath and the out-breath in the abdomen. Not from afar, not from the control tower of the head, but as if your abdomen was an organ of perception, receiving the breath. The abdomen has the organ of perception, sensing the in-breath and the out-breath. Now allowing the whole body to feel as if it's an organ of perception. Your hands receiving sensations of contact, coolness, warmth. Your lower body receiving the contact points, sense of touch, connected, rooted to the earth. Sensations of the breath felt in the abdomen or wherever they're felt, whatever sensations are felt in and of themselves, again, not from the control tower of the head. Say with the hands as if your mind was in the hands, in your hands, sensing the sensations of contact. Letting the sense of stability of the body, presence, breathing, connected, the earth element, earth on earth, the body is earth element, the sense of solidity of sensations, contact points. Sitting on earth. And just as a well-rooted tree with roots through the earth doesn't topple over in a windstorm. With gentleness, just as the body is both relaxed and soft, and grounded, rooted. Just like a Buddha statue sitting on a platform, stable, grounded. This body, this amazing, magnificent body that is yours and not yours. As your very own Buddha statue here. Sitting on earth, stable. stability, equanimity, equipoise. Caring, connected, present, here, and not easily toppled over. Well rooted, connected to the earth. Just being breathed, stable, spacious, grounded. And now I'd like to invite you, as you feel connected to your body, sensing, feeling this organ of perception, sensing itself. Bring up someone who serves as a friend for you in the easy category. And when you think of them, there is a sense of ease, safety, care for them. Maybe you feel their sense of care too. Not losing contact with embodiment with each breath, bringing up a felt sense, an image, as if they were in front of you. This good friend, this dear friend. It could be someone you haven't seen for a long time. But there's a sense of friendliness. And again, it doesn't have to be every aspect of your life or their life that's connected, but there's a sense of connection and ease and care. Bringing them to your mind's eye. Feeling connected to them, as if you're having a conversation with them, if you're having a Zoom call with them or FaceTime, just seeing them, feeling them, hearing them, whatever senses are most accessible for you. Notice what happens for you in your body. Maybe a sense of ease, care, connection. Maybe a smile shows up. This place of stability in your body and connected to your care, warmth, metta for this person, for this friend. connecting to their goodness, to their care for you. To your appreciation for them, for their humanity, for their goodness. And now connected to this friend, your sense of care, goodwill, friendliness, metta for them, and a sense of stability in your body. Now bringing to mind one aspect of your friend's life that has some challenges. And first, letting yourself connect to your sense of care for this friend. And the challenge they're going through. Meeting the friend and the challenge with care, with warmth. And now, as you stay connected with this friend and their challenge, opening up to the practice of equanimity, equipoise, knowing that you do care about this friend, about their well-being. What they're going through right now, that's challenging for them. You care for them. And without turning away and without falling into, neither turning away nor falling into the challenge, acknowledging that they have their own journey. You care about them. You wish them well. You wish them goodness, happiness, freedom from suffering. And you can't make their choices for them. I care about you. And your happiness and unhappiness depends on your actions, not my wishes for you. I wish you ease, and may you accept and have equanimity with things as they are right now. staying connected, embodied with each breath. And connected to this friend, their goodness, your care for them, their care for you. And holding their journey, both in care, with a lot of space, spaciousness. I care for you. I care for you, and I can't make your choices for you. Care for you, and I acknowledge you, like all beings, have your own journey. May you, may I, may we have peace with the comings and goings of things. With things as they are. I care for you, and whether I understand it or not, things are unfolding according to a lawful nature. May I accept what is, may you accept what is, with ease and equanimity and balance. And for the last moments of this practice period, opening up equipoise, equanimity for whatever arose or did not arise during this practice period. A sense of peace, ease, openness to the unfolding, just as it happened. Without resisting, judging, pushing away, grasping. Freedom, freedom of heart. Freedom of heart. Letting it be just as it was. Just as it arose. With peace. May all beings everywhere be at peace. all beings everywhere be free in their hearts and minds. Including ourselves. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for your practice. So, we have some time for reflections, for questions, for reports from the field of your experience. Reports from the field that can be supportive, not just for yourself as you verbalize them, but also supportive for the entire community. So, what did you notice? What arose? And especially if you haven't shared for a while or spoken, you are invited to please share. You can raise your hand, your Zoom hand, or type in chat. And if you type privately to me, I won't say your name. And if you type to everyone, I will read it out loud with your name. Jesse, please.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, so a question that's coming up for me is because you had mentioned that aloofness is one of the enemies, near or far, I forget.
The near enemy, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so what that brings up for me is just a question about curiosity and investigation and how much, because what I find that, I don't want to be distant. I want to be engaged. But it just strikes me that too much engagement or curiosity or investigation seems to kind of go to another side where it doesn't feel equanimous anymore. I'm wondering if you could comment on that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for raising this, because this is so important, that balance. So yes, too much investigation, too much kind of being in it, like this thing that's happening to you. Actually, you can tell me if that's what's coming up. What do you mean by investigation there? Is that what you mean, or do you mean something different?
Yeah, exactly. I guess I feel like I don't want to get too wrapped up in whatever's arising, hindrance or the aversion or the correct grasping, whatever it might be.
Right.
But not too aloof either.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. So actually, your question, what you're raising here, is a perfect opportunity to talk a little more about and tease out not just the near enemy, but the far enemy, which is the opposite. The far enemy is the opposite. I love this archaic language. Far enemy is the opposite. Near enemy is the masquerader, something that feels like it. Aloofness often is what feels like it. And then the opposite is aversion or entanglement, what you were describing. Like, oh, and it's okay. You notice you're investigating. Well, this is how it happens. I fall into the far enemy becomes the opposite. It's not equipoise holding it all. It's too entangled with this friend and their suffering, or it's like, oh, I don't like it. Make it go away. Right. So that's exactly that. So the invitation I have is, great, you've noticed that. The first thing is to notice instead of practicing, thinking we're practicing equanimity, but we're actually entangled in there, or we're having a lot of aversion. So without any judgment, noticing, oh, this is what's happening. Okay, here it is, the far enemy. Hi, here you are. I knew you were going to show up at some point. Okay, now I get to practice with you and kind of find my way, hone my way with this practice. So noticing it. And what can support that is the sense of connection and care. It's kind of spacious. You know, you care for someone, but you're not in there trying to fix their problems. You care for them and you're giving them so much space. There's so much space. It's almost like loving someone from afar. You care for them. And you know that this is their journey and it is part of your journey too. So that's where you can still be connected, the sense of care, but with a lot of space, giving them space. Does that help, Jesse? Tell me what's coming up for you.
Yeah, that's great. I guess something you said was that equanimity has a quality of warmth to it. And I guess I'm finding that it also has a quality of kind of a gentle action, you know, not just ignoring things, but yeah, the application of wisdom. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah, great. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's and the gentle action is the gentle action of inaction in a way. Mm-hmm. Like giving the action is not getting entangled, giving a lot of space, staying engaged. I mean, that's the parts that the action you're talking about. It's beautiful because it's a way of staying present. Staying present. And one image that comes up for me is at the deathbed of someone you care for and love, and knowing that it is at the end and you can't get in there and try to fix it and you can't hate it. Just holding presence. You're engaged. You're breathing with them. And there's a sense of, yeah, this is the journey that needs to happen.
Thank you. Great.
Thank you so much for bringing that up, Jesse. Very, very helpful. Thank you. Yeah. And Linda says, I had to make myself the friend. Odd, but beneficial. Great. Great. That's terrific. It all works. However doing the practice works for you in this way, you can be your own friend. In fact, I often think of ourselves where we can both be our benefactor, our good friend. We can be our difficult person, sometimes neutral person, like person we don't quite know, really. We think we know. So we can work with ourselves with all of those categories. And Forrest says, equanimity seems to be much subtler than the other Brahmaviharas. And I often find I have a hard time identifying, is this it or tapping into it? Yeah. Thank you, Forrest. Equanimity is subtler. Absolutely. I'm glad you're calling it out, which is why it's the fourth one. We kind of build up to it with practicing the other three. The questioning, is this it? Is this not? There's a sense of, you know, equipoise, kind of both. There's a care, but there's an openness. So, and you will know when you're in it, when you fall out of it. So that's the invitation I have for you first, kind of when you feel like, this feels like aloofness or too much attachment. And then you go into equanimity. Oh, this is more refined. The lens of perception becomes more attuned. And Jerry asks, is it the process also of setting boundaries? It could be. I mean, this is it's slightly different language and different different lens setting boundaries, but it, in some ways is giving them their own boundary, giving them space, right? You can maybe it's a boundary of spacious, right? It's somehow. Yes, you can think of it as boundary, but somehow setting a boundary seems like you don't care anymore. I mean, you are still caring. You're still, and yet you, it's so, I don't know how helpful it is to use that terminology. Might be, maybe not, but maybe I'll just leave it at that. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So very rich reflections and conversation. So let's take our practice on the road, road, and practice it in, instead of just silently with ourselves, with our eyes closed, now in the field of interpersonal relationships with people who are practitioners with you in this field. So in small groups, let's start with 30 seconds of wordless metta for each other, knowing that other people are wishing goodwill for you, and then sharing however little or much you like to share about your practice in this way of connecting with equanimity and ease. So I'm going to create the rooms here. Here we go. Okay. So almost there. Okay. Ready? Opening them now. Okay, welcome back, everyone. The rooms are closed, and we have a couple minutes for reflections. What did you notice? What did you find out? And especially if you haven't shared or are new, would love to hear from you. What came up for you? And if you raise your physical hand, I may not see you. Anything you noticed that came up, especially when you were discussing with others? Terrence, please.
I just feel so supported in this practice. And as it is subtle and, you know, not always sure that we're in the right vein, and I just really, really support this, or I'm so grateful for this venue of practice. Very good. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, parents, for your words and for also for you being here and supporting others with your practice, with your presence. Delights me that you feel supported. Yay. And may we all feel supported in our practice and in our lives. So, and Sarah says, I second that, a deep sense of gratitude towards everyone here, Nikki. Ah, thank you, Sarah. Thank you for seconding that and for your presence here, supporting yourself in this practice and supporting the Sangha. And all of you for showing up. So I want to thank you all for showing up, for practicing, both for your own sake and the sake of all those whose lives you touch within the Sangha, outside the Sangha, in your life, your colleagues, the world. So thank you all. May all beings be free in their heart. May all beings have peace and ease and equanimity. Thank you. A delight to share with you. So now, let's stop the recording.